This week, the new Pope, Pope Francis, visited the southeastern Brazilian city, I hope I say it right, Aparecida, and he celebrated Mass with tens of thousands of the faithful. They had over 2,000 police provided security at the shrine of the Virgin of Aparecida, the country's symbol of the Virgin Mary. They expected a crowd of 200,000, approximately. From the beginning, Pope Francis has had a particular focus on his version of Mary. I want to quote some of what he said when he was speaking to the faithful in Brazil just this couple, 3 days ago. Quote, "What joy I feel as I come to the house of the mother of every Brazilian, the shrine of Our Lady of Aparecida. The day after my election as Bishop of Rome, I visited the Basilica of St. Mary Major in Rome in order to entrust my ministry as a successor to Peter to Our Lady. Today, I have come here to ask Mary, our mother, for the success of the World Youth Day and to place at her feet the life of the people of Latin America." Going on, "When the church looks for Jesus, she, the church, always knocks at his mother's door and asks, 'Show us Jesus.' It is from Mary that the church learns true discipleship. My purpose today is to take a brief look at Marianism and some of the related prophecies for the end time that possibly include her. Marianism has a meaning of the veneration of Mary. Associated with that is Marianology, and it has four major doctrines. The first one is perpetual virginity, that Mary was always a virgin. We know that this is patently false just by reading the scriptures. It's right on its surface, you can see that that's not accurate, because the scripture talks about Jesus Christ's brothers and sisters living there also. The second dogma is that she's the mother of God. The third one, and we'll cover that a little more in depth in a minute, is the Immaculate Conception. The fourth one is the Assumption. These are the four dogmas of Mariology. The Assumption is the belief, the understanding that they have, that at Mary's death, she went body and soul into the heavenly glory with no change. That doesn't appear to be right according to scriptures either. Many of these dogmas were declared. They were just declared by the Pope, exercising papal infallibility. I'm infallible. I can do nothing wrong. This is why it's this way. And some of them were fairly recent. If I remember right, Mary's Assumption was finalized in like 1950, so it's pretty close. Immaculate Conception. I had read some on that some time back, and where I first read it, it was that Mary's mother was immaculately conceived, so Mary was of the same caliber as Christ when he was conceived. A little more in-depth research is not really accurate, what I had read, studied before. The Catholics believed that normal, Mary's mother was born of normal human conception. But at the instant of conception, she was given a full measure of God's grace. So she was totally free of original sin. And because she had the fullness of the grace of God, she lived a sinless life all the way up until the time and after that Jesus Christ was born. This was done in anticipation of her future immaculately born son, Jesus Christ, his grace was awarded to her early so that she had no sin. Most of the Catholics' view about Mary is they don't worship Mary. They say that they pray to Mary, but prayer to Mary is not worship. It's just prayer. There's a fairly long prayer that Catholics can recite, and I don't remember the name of it right off the top of my head, and I didn't write it down. But if you say that prayer, it gives you 120 days of indulgences. So you're good to go. You say that a couple of times a year, and you're all set. One of the commentators on that particular prayer said that it is blasphemous to the highest degree. It's the most idolatrous prayer ever presented to a dead woman. And in that prayer, they basically ascribe to Mary every one. In fact, the one commentator said they exhausted language in ascribing to her every attribute of Jesus Christ. They also teach in Mariology accurately in part that Eve was the first sinner because Eve brought sin into mankind. But from there they jump to Mary being the first Savior because she brought the remedy for sin. They have some aspect of it, and it's like a hodgepodge. You start looking at it, and there's different stuff all over the place. But they have one view of the Trinity that is God, Christ, and Mary. They have another view that gives a four-part Godhead. You have God, Christ, Mary, and the Holy Spirit. She's given titles as the Queen of Love, the Queen of Goodness, and the Queen of Heaven. Just really a thumbnail sketch. There's so much stuff out there you could speak for 2 weeks, I think, an hour a day, and still not cover all the foolishness that's out there. Politically incorrect statement, probably. Many Catholic prophecies show that the great monarch will spread Catholicism around the world, and the Pope will do miracles. And some of these prophecies indicate that Mary will be involved also. One of the Catholic prophets, R. Gerald Cullerton, in the 20th century, quote, "During the reign of the great monarch and the angelic pastor, the Catholic Church will be spread through all the world. Conversions will be innumerable. The Blessed Virgin will be the chief one in gaining victory over all heresy and schisms because of her power over the demons in the last ages of the world. Her power over the demons in the last ages of the world will be especially great. This will be recognized by her enthronement as, quote, the mistress and the queen of men's hearts." St. Louis de Montfort, lived in the 18th century. The quote, "The power of Mary over all the devils will be particularly outstanding in the last period of time. She will extend the kingdom of Christ over the idolatrous and the Muslims. And there will come a glorious era when Mary is ruler and queen of hearts." It was kind of an interesting sidelight because you don't think of Muslims and Mary. But looking up some of the Muslim beliefs, many Muslims believe that Mary conceived Christ at the command of God. They also have a Maryam in the Islamic faith that is the mother of Isa, I-S-A. So they already have a background of worship, veneration of Mary. So if we see things start to develop and see more apparitions of Mary, she starts doing miracles, it's going to sway a lot of people all over the world. Quoting Mumford again, he died in the early 1700s, he also said, "The training and education of the great saints who will appear toward the end of the world is reserved for the Mother of God." So Mary is going to train all these saints. "And these great saints, full of grace and zeal, will be chosen in order to oppose the enemies of God, who will appear everywhere." Who do you suppose that might be? "By their word and example, those saints will bring the whole world to a true veneration of Mary." Pope John Paul II said not too long back, I didn't catch a date on that either, "Christ will be victorious by the means of her because he wishes that the victories of the church in the contemporary world and in the future will be united in her." Let's take a quick look at Matthew chapter 24 and see what Jesus Christ says. He says this in several places. Well, Matthew 24 and verse 24. "There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect." I think in Mark, remember where that was. Basically, it says the same thing in Mark and in Luke. Let's look at Nahum, chapter 3, and verses 4 and 5. I lost that. I didn't mark it. Nahum chapter 3. Nope. There isn't a chapter 3 in Nahum. That's what happens when you get tired. I pulled up to Carl's house this morning and I stopped the car and I was a couple minutes early. Next thing I know, he's tapping on the window. I was sound asleep before I got out of the car. Now, too much truck driving, Annie, too much. Nope, the pages were stuck together. There is an AM3. Okay. I can blame that on being tired too, I guess. "Because of the multitudes," Nahum chapter 3 and verse 4, "because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts that sells nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts, Behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame. I have an assignment. I like to give assignments. If you would write down Isaiah chapter 47, sometime this week in your Bible study, read through Isaiah chapter 47. It's talking about the virgin daughter of Babylon. Then go back, in addition to that, and read Revelation 17 and Revelation 18, which shows the condemnation that God brings on Babylon. Many, many people in the world look to signs and wonders. Jesus Christ said, a wicked and adulterous world or people or society, I don't remember the exact word, seek after a sign. And no sign shall be given it, but the sign of the son of Jonah. So we shouldn't look for signs. We shouldn't look for wonders. And a final scripture, turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. For we in the church should walk by faith and not by sight. We shouldn't be looking for miracles and signs, apparitions of Mary, all the other many things that are extant and possibly will soon become much more extant on the earth. We need to walk by faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ.